Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Richard here, and it's great that you're able to join with us to listen to this audio version of our Burnside at Home service that is broadcast on the internet each week. Once again, there are a number of different things happening, and you'll hear those announcements in a moment or two. There won't be any music again, but we do hope that you're able to follow along and worship with what's happening. Our reading today is Acts chapter 27, and you might find it helpful to have that chapter open in front of you. It's quite a long chapter, and we're going to be going through it together. So if you have it open now, then it won't be so much of a surprise whenever we get to it. So we do hope that you will know God's blessing as you worship with us on this audio service, and may we know God's presence with us. Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thank you so much for joining with us as we worship again this week. And it's great that wherever you happen to be, you're able to be part of our worship here in Burnside. This week, we're coming to the end of our little series from the Prism Bible studies that have been produced by our Presbyterian Church. We're going to take a break for a few weeks, and then we'll come back to the second half of those studies later on. And this week, we're looking at the theme of being resent. Resent out into a world that has changed quite a bit since we were last there. Resent with the gospel out to a people who are fearful. And we're going to be looking at how we can meet that fear with faith in God. And we're going to be looking primarily at Acts chapter 27. It's quite a long chapter, so we're going to split it up into sections as we go through and look at each section together. But there's a wonderful verse in verse 29, which really is a structure that we're going to put the whole service around today as we worship. And in that verse, Paul is on a ship. They are in the middle of a storm. They're on their way to Rome. Paul has said that they shouldn't go because it's too dangerous, but the captain of the ship and the officials decide to plow on ahead. They end up in a storm and they're fearful for their lives. It's the middle of the night and they are frightened. They are genuinely frightened for their lives. They think that this is going to be it. And Paul says in verse 29 of Acts 27, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. And that's what we're going to be thinking about today. What anchors can we drop from our lives? Can we put in firmly in our lives to hold us in position, even in the middle of the night when we are fearful and we're worried and we're not sure what is going to happen next? What anchors can we put in the firm ground to hold us firm that will keep us close to God and will keep us following Him? So that's our theme for today. That's what we're going to be looking at together from Acts 27. The four anchors that God gave Paul that helped him on this journey. Today also, you can see that I'm standing here beside a pile of shoeboxes. On Sunday, we're going to be launching our shoebox appeal this year. Now, we recognise that things have changed greatly since last year, and many of you are not out in the shops as much as you would have been to be able to take a shoebox and to fill it with all the things that you would normally do. There are a couple of other options. You can be here on Sunday and pick up a shoebox and take it and fill it and bring it back again. Or you can do it online. You can go to samaritanspurse.com and you can virtually fill a shoebox there and give a donation towards the cost of that shoebox. If you have any items that wouldn't quite fill a shoebox, but you've maybe been gathering up over the past year to get ready for the shoebox appeal, you can bring those along to church as well, and we'll use those and send those off. This year there'll be no checking of the boxes here, it's all going to be done remotely by Samaritan's Purse staff. Then also, not this week, but the following week is traditionally our Harvest Thanksgiving service. And of course, we're going to give thanks to God for another harvest. We're going to give thanks to God for His goodness to us. And at the harvest time, we always like to think of others. And so there'll be an opportunity to give towards the food bank, the Ashes to Gold run in Coleraine. Ashes to Gold are a charity, a Christian charity, that help those who are suffering with mental health conditions. And they have a food bank that works with that as well. And we'll be giving our non-perishable food items to that. You can bring them along to the church building next Sunday, and then they will be distributed. Today we're thinking about being shipwrecked and how Paul was shipwrecked on the way to Rome. And so we're going to be singing together in a moment or two Ian White's beautiful hymn, "Though I Feel Afraid of Territories Unknown," which deals with this whole issue of being in a storm and God being with us and knowing that he is there to help us and to guide us. Later on, we're going to be listening to a wonderful four-part harmony of "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." And as well as looking at Acts chapter 27, Derek Burrell is going to read from Psalm 138, which is a great psalm reminding us that whenever we're in times of trouble, God is with us and he will not forsake us. So as we begin to worship God together, let's remember those four anchors that we're going to put firm to hold us and help us through the storms, and let us come before God in prayer. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you today that we are able to gather in your name in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who is constant, the one that we can rely upon. You are the one who is with us throughout every storm that we face, and you have promised never to forsake us. And today, Lord, as we look at Paul caught up in this storm and shipwrecked, we realize, Lord, that we can learn lots of lessons as to how you helped Paul and how you can help us today. We recognize, Lord, that we are now being resent out into this world with the good news of the gospel. And we are fearful, Lord, and we are meeting many who are fearful. Help us, Lord, to live by faith and to take the good news with us wherever we go, so that we might share words of hope and words of grace and words of mercy, words of love to those who need to hear them. And we pray, Lord, that in doing that, you will transform lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to come to God in prayer today, once again, bringing our prayers for others and also bringing our thanksgiving to God for the offering. As we pray for others, we want to remember the shoebox appeal and where the shoeboxes are going and how they will be used. We want to remember, of course, the whole situation in our world at the moment with COVID-19 and new regulations and fears and struggles that many people may be having. I'm praying especially this week for those who have gone back to university or started university for the first time and are facing all sorts of challenges that we've been hearing in the news. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you now, we want to give you thanks for this offering that has been brought in many different ways. We ask once again, Lord, for your blessing upon it. And we ask, Lord, that you would guide those who are entrusted with it to use it wisely for your kingdom and for your glory. Today, Lord, we want to remember the needs of others, and we remember our shoebox appeal. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity once again to contribute towards this appeal. We thank you for the boxes that are collected and are sent out throughout the world. And we thank you for the joy that they bring to children as they open up those boxes and receive the gifts. And Lord, we pray for your blessing upon that whole process. We pray that everything will be done safely this year. And we pray that as the boxes are distributed, that children and families too may hear your good news and may come to trust in you through it. Lord, we pray also about our harvest service next week as well. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come with thanksgiving and praise to you, and the opportunity that we have to remember others at this time. And we ask, Lord, that as we do this, that many would come to know you and that we would be reminded of your goodness to us. Again, Lord, we pray about the COVID-19 pandemic in our world today. We pray for those who are struggling with fear. And we ask, Lord, that they might find faith in you day by day in every situation that they face. We pray that you would be with them and help them and take away that fear and help them cope with the struggles that they face. We pray, Lord, for students who have just returned to university. And we've been hearing on the news reports the terrible situations that they find themselves in as they are having to isolate far away from home. And we pray, Lord, for those who are struggling, who are just simply homesick and need their parents close to them at this time. And we pray that you would sustain them and help them. We pray for Christian unions at university at this time, and we realise, Lord, that they're not able to have the big meetings that they would normally have had. And the freshers' weeks haven't taken place, so it's been difficult to contact fellow believers. And so, Lord, we pray for your protection upon students, that you might draw them to you, that they might find friends who know you, and that those friends would be an anchor for them in their lives and help them in all that they do. Lord God, we pray for the ongoing clinical trials of vaccines, and we pray that those would be successful. We pray for our healthcare professionals, Lord, in all that they are doing, not just with COVID-19, but in all the other areas of work as well. And we think, Lord, of the upcoming flu vaccinations that are taking place. And we pray that you would guide local medical centres, doctors and GPs as they carry out that vaccination process. So, Lord, we bring these, our prayers, to you today because we know that you alone are able to answer them. And so we bring them in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we come to this great passage in Acts chapter 27. I know it's a long passage. I'm going to split it up and speak about different sections of it. But please do look it up in your Bible at home so that you can follow along. And this passage has just really grabbed my attention this week because we're in Acts of the Apostles. We're nearing the end of the story. Paul, we've been told, is going to go to Rome, and he's been promised by God to go to Rome. He's been through several trials at this point. He's been under arrest. He's been imprisoned and under house arrest. And we're at the stage now where the Jews want him transferred to Jerusalem so that they can kill him and stop this nonsense that's going on. But Festus and King Agrippa have met, they've looked at the case, they've listened to the arguments, and they can't see anything wrong with what Paul's been doing. Paul then appeals to Caesar, and because of that, Festus has to send him back to Rome so that his case can be heard there. And this is where we meet the story. Paul is being put onto a ship and they're about to sail for Italy. It's the wrong time of year for a journey like this. It's late into winter. It's the time whenever storms hit and whenever boats are destroyed and lives are lost. And Paul, as we'll see, tries to say to them, no, let's not go. But the officials and the captain decide that they're going to go ahead. And therefore, we end up with a potential shipwreck on our hands. Now, in the middle of chapter 27, there's a wonderful little section which really we're going to hang all of our thoughts upon today. And you'll find it in verse 29, where they're fearful that they're going to hit the rocks, fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks. They dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Now, I don't know about you, but any time that I'm anxious or worried about something or there's fear, the worst time for that fear is the middle of the night. You wake up or maybe you don't even get to sleep. And everything seems much worse at night. It's dark and the thoughts go racing around your head. There's nothing else to distract you and it seems worse than it actually is. And sometimes you just pray for the morning to come. And you hope that in the morning, things won't seem so bad. If only we can make it to the morning, then we might just get through this and we might survive. And that was Paul's position here. They're in the middle of the storm. The boat is about to get torn apart. And so Paul leads the people on the boat and tells them to drop these four anchors. And that will hopefully stop the drift of the boat. And hopefully they will get to safety. And so today we're going to look at four different anchors that God gives Paul that help him survive until the morning, that help him through this anxious time. And then we're going to hopefully find four anchors that we can use in our lives as well. So let's begin by reading from verse 27 down to verse 38, this section where the storm is hitting and they drop the anchors. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. Short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In the attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors left the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, "you've been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. And when they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. This is a wonderful account of what's taking place. You can sense the panic in their voices as they realize that they are about to die. And some of them tried to escape in the lifeboat, but the promise that's been given to Paul is that if they all stay on the boat, then they will all be saved. And so they put these anchors down, and it stops the boat from drifting too far, and in the morning they're able to run aground. And in verses 35 to 36, we have this wonderful picture where Paul tells them all to eat, and he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Now, this isn't a communion that Paul is holding, but it must surely point towards communion, telling us that our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in our risen Savior. Our hope is in his blood shed for us and his body broken for us. That there our sins are forgiven, and because of that, we have hope for our lives. So what are these four anchors that we find in this passage? Well, the first one is in the opening eight verses of chapter 27. And having looked at the middle of the chapter, we're now going to go back to the beginning and work our way through it. And in verses 1 to 8, and you might want to read it there, we find that God gives Paul friends for the journey. Friends are an anchor to help Paul with whatever he faces. These friends are loyal. These friends are with him. These friends help him and will not let him down. First of all, we see as we read through in verse 2, Aristarchus is mentioned. And Aristarchus came to faith whenever Paul was in Thessalonica and he was preaching there. And then he set off with Paul, and he stayed with Paul since that point. He was arrested with Paul in Ephesus. You remember whenever they had the dispute with the silver makers and the silversmiths who were making the idols, and they were arrested for causing trouble. Aristarchus was there with Paul at that time. He'd remained with Paul throughout these protracted trials that were taking place, and now he was being given permission to sail to Rome with Paul. He was sticking with him, and he wouldn't let him go. We also see from this passage that Luke, the one who is writing Acts of the Apostles and who wrote Luke's Gospel, is also here, and he speaks about we from time to time as we go through this passage. And he's sticking with Paul. He's there right to the end, to Paul's death, as we'll later discover. And then we find that Paul had friends in unusual places. People responded to him and respected him. First of all, there's Festus, who has just put him on trial and can't see anything wrong. But because Paul has appealed to Caesar, he's got to send him to Rome. So he sends him on the ship, but he gives him privileged positions. Julius here in verse 3 shows kindness to Paul and allows him to go off to Sidon to meet some friends there who minister to his needs. And that's interesting in itself, because Julius wouldn't necessarily have been a friend. Indeed, he was the one who was put in charge of Paul, and yet he shows this kindness to him. And Paul never seems to have been to Sidon, and yet he's got friends there because of the gospel. And so God gives us friends to help us through our fears and our anxieties. He gives us friends to encourage us and to help us through those difficult times. And you know what it's like? If you can find a good Christian friend, there's a bond, there's an affinity, there's a togetherness there through the Holy Spirit that cannot be explained in any other way. You meet a fellow believer and suddenly you have a connection with that person. You've maybe never met before, but it feels as if you've known each other all your lives. And whenever you pray for one another, then it is an incredible friendship. And these are the friendships that we need as an anchor to help us through the difficult times, to help us face fear with faith. We need someone praying for us, who's looking out for us, who's asking us spiritual questions. And if you don't have a good Christian friend, find a good Christian friend. Come to Bible study and take part and learn from others. And you'll find very quickly that whenever you come to study the Bible with others, that there you will have a true and a lasting friendship. The second anchor that we find in this passage then follows on, verses 9 to 12. And here we find the anchor of caution. Caution despite conviction. Paul very easily could say in this whole story that we're reading in Acts 27, right, let's go, let's get to Rome as quickly as possible. Whenever the captain and the officials decide to set sail, Paul could quite easily say, yes, let's get on with this. I've got a promise from God that we're going to Rome. But that's not what Paul says. In verses 9 and 10, Paul says, man, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous. And it's going to bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives as well. And so Paul is showing caution here. And that's an anchor that we can put down, that even though we may have a promise from God, even though we know that God will protect us no matter what, we don't put God to the test. At times, the anchor of caution is there to slow things down and prepare us for trusting in God. And so Paul takes the cautious approach. And I suppose in a way that's a little bit like our world at the moment, where we know that God is with us and we know that we can trust in him for everything. But at the same time, we're a little bit cautious about what's going to happen. We're a little bit cautious about what we do and what we don't do, because we want to do things wisely and we don't want to just rush on ahead and claim all of God's promises and demand that he will protect us. Remember Jesus, whenever he was tempted by Satan. Satan took him to a high place and told him to throw himself off so that God would send his angels to protect him and his foot wouldn't stumble. So caution, despite the conviction that God is with us, can be a promise and an anchor to help us through. Then in verses 13 to 26, we have another anchor that is put through here, and that is trust in the midst of the tempest.
Trusting God no matter what happens. Trusting that God will be with us. In verses 13 to 26, it's entitled in the NIV, The Storm. And we read here of what happens in the storm, of how the wind picks up, the waves crash, the ship was caught in the storm, and it was about to be destroyed and beaten on the rocks. And in the midst of all of that, Paul doesn't panic. He's already shown caution and nobody has listened to him. But now he keeps his trust in God, even when it seems as though everything is going wrong. This is the point where Paul could panic and Paul could say, oh, what am I going to do now? They didn't listen to me. Oh, God's going to let us all die. This is terrible. But no, Paul keeps the trust. Paul holds on to the promise that even though the others have done the wrong thing, Paul holds on to God. And he says in verses 21 and 22, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood before me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. We're going out into a world that is fearful, a world that is in chaos at the moment. People's lives are in chaos and full of fear. And this is the time when we need to keep trusting in the midst of the tempest. We need to keep trusting in God, realizing that he has a plan, realizing that he has an offer of salvation, realizing that he will not let us down. And that we can rely upon him and we can hold on to him. And that's a wonderful promise to have. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to go out into the world with. That we don't go out into the world today resent by God empty-handed. We don't go out into the world with scratching our heads like everyone else, wondering, well, how are we going to get out of this economic problem? How are we ever going to overcome this virus? We've got the answer. We know the answer is Jesus Christ. We know that he is the only hope that people need. And so we can trust in him and rely upon him. And it's not a time to panic and worry about, oh, look at what people have done and the way they've treated this world. It is a time to stand firm and to trust God and to follow him. And then at the next section is the one that we've already looked at, where the anchors are put down and they get through the night. And whenever they do that, we then finally have the fourth anchor of acceptance of the new mission. An anchor of accepting what God has called us to do, accepting our new circumstances. They've been through this terrible storm throughout these nights and nights and nights, and now they run aground. And whenever they run aground, they end up on Malta. The boat is ripped apart. There is nothing left of it. And they get to shore lying on planks. But all 276 of them survive, which is a miracle from God. And Paul could quite easily at this point start complaining about his new circumstances. He could quite easily complain, why did you not listen to me? Look at the trouble we're in. I was supposed to be in Rome. Now I'm here in Malta. What am I going to do? But that's not Paul's attitude. Paul accepts the new mission that God has given to him. There's a new dawn in verse 39. When the daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land in safety. If you want to find out what happened next, read on in the final chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 8, where there's a remarkable story where Paul starts to minister to the local people there on Malta. And Paul accepted this new mission that God gave to him. In this new land with these new people, he started speaking about Jesus Christ. He started telling them about the love of a Savior who has died for them. And where they were filled with fear, Paul brought his faith and brought hope. And that's the situation we're in, as we're resent out into this world. We can bemoan the fact that it's changed. We can complain about how things are not the way they used to be and how things have changed greatly, and we can put the blame on one person or another. Or we can accept this new mission. This is the new world, the new land that God has called us into. This is where God wants us to be, and he has given us a message of hope. We are resent into the world to tell the world about a gracious Savior who loves them and has died for them, about a Savior who has shed his blood so that we could have salvation, so that we could have hope. So today, if you are fearful, turn to God in faith and find the anchors that God has given you to give your life stability and meaning and purpose again. If you're trusting with faith in God and going out into a world that is fearful, provide these anchors to the world so that the world can trust in God and put these anchors down in their own lives and find hope in the Lord. So today, we come to God and we trust in him. We place our anchor firmly in him, and we stand firm upon him. So let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the anchors that you have given to us. Help us to put them firmly in Jesus Christ so that we might survive the dark night and we might come into this glorious dawn with a new beginning and a new mission for you. Help us, we pray, Lord, not to waver in the storm, but to trust you in the tempest. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we're going to sing together that great hymn, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life, reminding us that we can trust in our Saviour.
Psalm 138. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his promise for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hand.
What a great hymn, reminding us that we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. And now we want to finish our time together with a blessing upon each one of you as we worship. So let us pray together. Now may our anchor hold firm throughout this week,
As we trust Almighty God throughout the storms, may our faith be placed in our loving Heavenly Father. May our salvation be secure in our Redeemer Jesus Christ. And may our hope come through trust in the Holy Spirit. Amen.